Good morning. Good to see everyone out this morning. We have a good crowd. Got a lot of people back. We're thankful for that. I'm always honored to be able to stand before you and speak. I never feel worthy to do that. Hopefully things that we talk about today will benefit you as well as myself. I want you to think back a few years ago. I can remember as a teenager, I loved when this commercial came on. Michael Jordan was one of my heroes. I loved to play basketball. I loved all of those things. And I would sing that song to you. I've got the lyrics, but I don't want everybody to rush the stage to throw me out, not to, you know, in the other way. But everybody wanted to be like Mike. And when it comes to basketball, I think that was a good thing. His work ethic was second to none. His ability on the court was second to none. Now, I understand his personal life left something to be desired, but it was okay to look up to him in the sense of playing sports because he gave it everything that he had. And that was a good example. But I want us to think about this in a different way. And I wrestled with titling the sermon like this because I don't want you at all to think I'm talking about me. I want every person in this assembly, you title this sermon to you. I want every person in this assembly to make this lesson today, do I want them to be like me? And I've got to do the same. You see, we have spent a tremendous amount of time focusing on evangelism. We have spent a lot of money from this church getting materials and getting people in here, and we've done all of these things, but when we come down to it, when we're striving to evangelize to the people around us, in essence, we are asking them, we want you to be like me. Have you ever considered that? When you go out and you're talking to someone and you're studying with someone and you're inviting someone to church, you are asking them, hey, I want you to come and I want you to be like me. I want you to act like me and go to the same church as me. I want you to believe like me. I want you to live your life like me. And that kind of makes things a little tougher to think about, does it? But that's what we're doing. And brethren, we've got to realize that as we go about this world, and man, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as far as trying to bring people in, but if we don't approach it with this mindset, well, sometimes we can do more harm than good. I want you to look at this picture. You can open your Bibles back up to Luke chapter 18 if you want to. I was going through the book of Luke, and I was like, man, we're studying Bible Bowl. What can I preach from the book of Luke? And this is a parable that always sticks out to me because it's a parable that I understand that is somewhat hard for us. Sometimes I myself have found myself in the role of the Pharisee here, and probably everybody that's honest and open, maybe you have found yourself in the role of the Pharisee, and I don't know exactly what they look like, but this would be the Pharisee. He's got his phylactery here on his forehead because they took the commandments of the Lord literal in Deuteronomy chapter 6. You put the word of God on the frontlets of your eyes. And what he was teaching them was ever keep it before you. Well, they thought, well, I'll take all the scriptures I know and I'll put it in a box and put it on my forehead. And the bigger the phylactery, then everybody will know how important I am. And Jesus would say they would enlarge the borders of their garments and they would do all of these things to appear righteous before men. They would stand on the street corners and be haughty and arrogant and they thought they were better than everybody else. And then you've got that lowly publican. And the Bible says he wouldn't even come near. We're going to talk about that. But you say, why would you want to bring up the Pharisees? What's your reasoning? Well, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if we can't do better than them, we're not going to heaven. Well, those are strong words, right? If I can't live my life better than a Pharisee, I'm not going to heaven. If I can't overcome those urges to be like them and want to be perceived like them, and then I'm in trouble. Let's go to Luke 18. Let's go to Luke 18, and I appreciate a good brother reading this. I want to read it again because I want to dive into it a little bit. Jesus had just taught a parable on prayer and the persistence in prayer, and God is good and God will help us. And then he goes into another parable on prayer. But this one is about our attitudes that we possess. And he's going to use a Pharisee. And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. He knew his audience. He knew his audience were people that depended upon their own merit, that looked at themselves in a favorable light. He spoke the parable to a people that thought they were holy and righteous, and other people were not. He said they trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they despised others. They looked down their nose at others. They, again, felt they were better than others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, one a publican. Who's a Pharisee? Well, Pharisees came on the scene somewhere between the book of Nehemiah, which is as close to Jesus as you can get, and the book of Matthew. They were a sect of Judaism. They claimed to be the religious leaders. They claimed to be the most conservative and legalistic, but yet they were not. They really focused a lot on the traditions of their fathers, the things that they liked to do and they felt that they should do, and that was a lot of their focus. Now, a publican was a tax collector, and Jews hated tax collectors. They looked down upon them, and they felt they were the lowest form of society. And again, we don't like tax collectors today. It's just because they take our money, but we don't like them. Same reasoning. A lot of tax collectors during this time, especially, were very crooked. They would do things under the table, and again, people didn't like them. Verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Now, I want to stop. Pharisee's not even praying to God. He's not even got his focus on the throne room of God. You know, the writer of Hebrews said, let us come boldly unto the throne of God. That's not what he's doing. He stood and prayed thus with himself. His sole purpose of standing on that street corner and praying was so people would hear what he had to say. So people would look up and say, hey, look at this guy. Man, he's a religious leader. I want to know about him. I want to hear what he's got to say. That's his focus. You realize Jesus had already condemned that in the Sermon on the Mount? He said the heathen, they like to stand on the street corners and they want to do that to be heard. And they've got all of these fancy words and all of these things. And he says, don't do that. He says, when you want to pray, go into your closet. And he's not talking literal, go into your closet at the house. He's just saying, don't do it to be seen of men. This guy was doing it to be seen of men. He said, God, he says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Now let's look on one hand. On one hand, this guy is he's a pretty good guy, right? He's a pretty good guy. He doesn't commit extortion, and he's not unjust. He doesn't cheat people. He's not an adulterer. He doesn't cheat on his wife. And man, he goes the second mile. He says, I give tithes of all that I possess. And Matthew 23 would even say they tithed of the herbs that they grew in their garden. He says, I fast twice a week. That wasn't required. But yet he's I'm going to go above and beyond what the Lord said. I'm a good guy. And if we look at him, he is a pretty good guy. As far as if you want to measure it in what somebody does and doesn't do. But he says, God, I'm thankful I'm not like other men. God, I'm thankful that I'm not like that guy. that guy standing right over there, God,
that publican that's cheated so many people, he is unjust, and God, I am not unjust. I am above that.
Well, let me ask you something.
This Pharisee is religious leader, right? He's the religious leader of the time. He is one of the people that everybody looks to. So in essence, he is or should have the mindset, I want you to be like me. But let me ask you something. Do you think he had a positive effect on people's life? Do you think that he pulled people in to want to be followers of God by his attitude, by his actions, by the way that he lived his life? Do you think he pulled people in to want to be close to God by this prayer?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. And that's what our lesson's about this morning. Do we do that? You see, this publican, the Bible says the publican wouldn't even come close to him.
And I think there's good reason for that. This publican knew that this guy looked down upon him. This publican knew that guy talked about him. So therefore, this guy's the righteous guy. This guy's the leader guy, and I am nothing. And I don't deserve to be in his presence. So the Bible says the publican, he stood afar off. He just stayed way over there because he knew he wasn't going to measure up to this guy's standards. He knew. Because you see, that's the attitude that the Pharisee had. And brethren, we've got to be so careful when it comes to things like that. 2 points. And I've talked just a little bit about these two things here at Willow in the past. But I want to look at 2 verses from Matthew 23, and I want to really dig down into our lives and see if we are doing or not doing these things. Matthew 23, verse 13, "But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." Pharisees sometimes hindered people from entering the kingdom of God. Brethren, we're going to talk about that. Sometimes evangelism will do us absolutely no good if we have the attitude of a Pharisee. No one will want to be like me if I come across as a Pharisee. It's impossible. And Jesus himself from his own mouth said it. Point number 2 that we'll get to is Pharisees caused other people to act like them. It says, "For woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, to make a Jew." You know, you convert this guy to Judaism. That's what a proselyte is. And he says, you'll do all of these things to get him in. But when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Sometimes when we make people just like us, it doesn't go very well. And that's going to be our 2nd point today. 1st point, we too can hinder others. I want you to get this little thing out of your Bible. There's a list. Now, Jonathan said we're supposed to pull this list out pretty regular, right? You've got a list in your Bible, and that's what this is about. You think of someone that you have wanted to convert. And on that list, maybe you've got 10 names, maybe you've got, I don't know how many names you've got, but whatever you've got on your list, I want you right now to start thinking about those people. I want you to focus on those people, and I want you to ask yourself, do those people want to be like me? Is it possible that the actions that I take, the attitude that I possess have had a negative impact? Is it possible that maybe this person that I love and I desire for them to become a Christian, is it possible that I could be part of the reason that they're not? That's a sobering thought, isn't it? That's something that makes me stop in my tracks and think, you know, that's not what I want. And have I ever hindered someone? Oh, I'm absolutely sure that I have, because I'm a very imperfect person. But it's a very sobering thought to think that I could be the thing that steps between someone and God. And that's a scary thought. I want to ask you some questions. Have you ever talked negative about the church in the presence of that person? I know someone that has a spouse, and I've not experienced this personally, but one of their family members have told me several times. I know someone that has a spouse, and that spouse is not a Christian, and never goes to church with them. And this person says every time we're at family dinners, they are talking so negative about the church. And he says, I often wonder, why would the spouse ever want to go? Why would the spouse ever want to go if all you ever hear is negative? Let me ask you something. Have you ever talked to someone about what goes on here at Willow Avenue that is not a member? And maybe you said something like this. They've got a preacher there that's the biggest, ugliest thing I've ever seen in my life. Probably have, and that's probably true. Or maybe you said, man, those guys, they preach lessons too long, and boy, it's hard to stay awake. And the song leader, maybe he drug out the songs. Not talking about you, Jonathan. But maybe you say the song leader drug out the songs, or he was, they were off key this morning. You know, they did this. They sung a song I didn't know. They sung too many verses. The guy presiding by the Lord's table, he didn't even read a scripture. He didn't even read a scripture. All he did is got up and pray and all of these things. And you heard all that before, right? He said, man, those elders, they make decisions I just don't agree with. And I want to stop just a second. Are we a perfect congregation? Absolutely not. Is there room for improvement in every person in this room? Yes. Yes. But brethren, we don't have to spread that to the world. We don't have to share that with someone that is not a New Testament Christian. I want to ask you something. If you tell someone, man, the preacher was dry and the songs were slow and everything was bad, and then, hey, by the way, you want to come with me next Sunday? I mean, seriously, think about that. Do you want to come? If you're not a member? And that's how you sell it? No, not at all. You see, but sometimes we talk very negative about the church. Coming out of a pandemic, how many people in the brotherhood do you think have talked about their congregation? I can't believe that congregation canceled some services. I can't believe they wore a mask or that congregation didn't wear a mask. I can't believe this. And then, by the way, won't you come with me next time? See, it doesn't work. When we do that, we become very pharisaical. Is there a time and a place to talk about problems in the church? Yes. Yes. I've met with elders here, and I know they meet about it on a regular basis, trying to better things, to solve problems, and there's times and places. But it's not with someone who is not a member. It's not. You will never win anyone talking negative about the church in their presence. Are members of the church accused of being judgmental? Be honest. Yeah, right? Accused of being judgmental. Is sometimes that warranted? Yes. Yeah. We can be guilty of that, right? The Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, he was very guilty of that. He was being very judgmental. Lord God, I am thankful that I am not like that man. Did he even know that man? I don't know, but he thought within his mind that he knew everything about him. And sometimes you and I, that's how we are, right? We think within ourselves we know everything about someone, and we are very judgmental of them, although we don't bother to get both sides of the story. And we do that in the presence of other people. Maybe at work, if you're in a break room and you're talking about all of these negative things and you're being judgmental about other people, then you're not going to come across the next sentence, hey, why don't you go to church with me? You see, that's not going to work. How many times have people told you, I'm not going to church because it's full of hypocrites? Sometimes, is the reason they say that because of you and I? Maybe sometimes we are very hypocritical in their presence. We claim to be a member of the church. We invite them to come with us. We may mention something about the Bible, but it is completely obvious that we don't truly believe it. The church is full of hypocrites sometimes. And sometimes the biggest duck in the puddle is standing before you. It's hard sometimes to practice what you preach. It's hard. But you see, when we do that, and we're not so careful, especially in front of the world, we turn people off. We turn people off to having an opportunity to want to be a part of us. Because again, this lesson is, be like me. Does that person really want to be like me if I'm very judgmental and negative and hypocritical? I doubt it. Why would they? Have you ever treated someone else that was not a member of the church like they weren't as good as you? We get accused on a regular basis. You think you're the only ones going to heaven, right? You ever heard that? A lot of times. Sometimes do we give off the vibe that we're the only ones going to heaven? Be honest. Sometimes we do, don't we? Sometimes that's how we act toward everybody else. I'm saved, and I'm on the Lord's side, and yeah, you're not. Has that ever happened to me? Yeah. And my wife always just beats me right back down to where I need to be. And I appreciate her for that. It's hard, especially for a preacher. Man, you go to the back door and everybody tells you how great you did and how wonderful you are. If you're not very careful, what happens? You start to believe it. That sounded funny, didn't it? Seriously, it's hard. It's hard sometimes. And again, for a preacher needs that because you get discouraged and you want to quit and you need pats on the back. But man, when everybody tells you how great you are, sometimes if you're not careful, you start to feel it. And you start to act like it. And that's where you need a wife to tell you. I'm being serious as I can be. To tell you to rein it in and to realize who you are. Keep us humble. We all need someone to keep us humble. Because no one wants to be like me if I'm self-righteous. No one. Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to be like that. You've got that person on your mind. That person that maybe you wrote their name on their card or you got their name in your heart and you're thinking about them and you're really thinking, man, I want to convert them. Have you shown them genuine love and concern? Because you see, Pharisees did not. They didn't do that. That's not what they were about. They were concerned with themselves. This parable in Luke 18 was spoken to people who trusted in themselves and thought they were righteous. They had no genuine love and concern for people on the outside. Again, they treated them as they were less than themselves. You and I will never convert anyone without showing genuine love and concern. Can't be fake. I can spot fake a mile away, can't you? I've had people show me love and concern, but it was fake. And I knew it was fake. And people can see that. You see, I've got to work on that if I want them to be like me. Next to the last one on the first point. I want you to picture something in your mind, and I've talked about this in gospel meetings in the past. You picture in your mind that you have heard a dynamic sermon. I mean, a sermon that steps on people's toes, and you're thinking, man, you know, people's going to come forward in groves this morning. And it's just a great sermon, and that preacher gets to the end, and you know it's about time for the invitation. This is what you hear. And you're grabbing things in the bag, and you're getting everything ready to go. And maybe if it's wintertime, you're putting your coat on, and you're gathering the kids up. And maybe that person that was really deep in thought, thinking about responding to the invitation, maybe what happened? You broke their train of thought, right? And maybe that person that was really thinking about getting their life right or obeying the gospel today, maybe your actions change their thought process? Maybe. We're in a building where it's easy to see from this side what goes on this side, right? It's a big building. We've got to be careful. We've got to be mindful. Our goal here together as a group is to get people to the Lord, and we don't want to do anything to deter that. Don't worry about getting your song book out at the invitation. Don't worry about putting your Bible up and gathering the kids. Don't worry about any of that. You can do that after we say amen at the closing prayer. Help people to focus. Help people. That's what we're here for. Pharisee wouldn't be concerned about that. Last one. We can hinder people from becoming New Testament Christians by defending sinful behavior. I don't care if it's your sibling. I don't care if it's your parents. I don't care who it is in your life. If you want to convert that person, you never, never, never defend sinful behavior. You never treat that person as if the things that they're doing that are not right before the Lord are okay. Because when you do, you give them the hand of fellowship. You do. And the Bible says we don't do that. We can't do that. Because if we give people the false impression that they're okay, then they think they're okay. My time is gone. I'm going to have to hurry. Point number two. Pharisees, the Bible says, they encompass land and sea to make a proselyte. And when he's made, they make him twofold a child of hell as they are. So I want you to, in your mind, just for a moment, and we'll go through this quickly. I want you to think of Christians here at Willow. I want you to think about the people sitting around you. I want you to think about the people that can see you. And again, this side can see that side and vice versa. And I want you to think, is it possible that the way you've behaved yourself has influenced them to not be as faithful as they could or as they should? And you said, I don't do that. Well, let's think about just a few things. Maybe the person sitting beside you. Maybe the person that you talk to, or the person sitting in front of you, or across from you, or whatever it may be. Maybe that person talks to you and you appear as if you are a faithful Christian, and then tonight they don't see you. And then Wednesday night, they don't see you. And then next Sunday morning during worship hour, you're there again. Oh, hey, good to see you today. Man, I'm glad you're here. Everything's good and great. And then that next Sunday night, they don't see you. And the next Wednesday night, they don't see you. What are you teaching them? What are you telling them that it's okay to do? You know, I don't have to tell you, right? Pharisees would encompass land and sea to make a proselyte, to make a new convert. But then their actions and their attitudes influence that person to be just like them. You see, the people around you are going to be like you, whether you like it or not. Whether you intend for that to happen or not, the people around you are going to be like you. Am I okay right now with the person sitting across from me, in front of me, behind me, wherever it is, if they are just like me? You've got to answer that question, and so do I. Is your mindset, your participation in worship, is it what it should be? If that person sitting across from you, if they were to glance over during the singing, and your mouth looks like you bit on some super glue, I mean, what are you teaching them? Be honest. What are you teaching them? Well, I don't need to sing. You don't have to sing if you're going to be a Christian. That's not what it's... But the Bible tells us 9 times in the New Testament, commands us to sing. When a prayer is being uttered, and especially young people, you look across and maybe you're writing a note and you're passing a note and you're whispering and you're talking. You know what you're telling the people around you? Why, that's okay. You really don't have to focus on that. Don't worry about it. What if everybody behaved just like you in the services here at this congregation? Would that be okay with you? That's a question we've got to answer. Has your speech hindered their walk with God? I could talk at length about this, but we understand the things I say. The words that come out of my mouth, do that hinder people? What about your attitude about church or just in general? If you've got a sour attitude and you look like you're sucking on a dill pickle in front of other people, I mean, doesn't that have an influence on them? Yeah. If your attitude about church with the world is negative, we said nobody want to be here. But what if your attitude within the congregation is always negative? Doesn't that rub off on other people? Doesn't that make other people negative? Yeah. And you see, that's what the Pharisees did. They were very, very negative. And in turn, people around them would be very, very negative. We've got to be careful. What about our traditions? Do we all have traditions? Do every congregation, do they have traditions? Yeah. Are we so bound up in those traditions that we do exactly everything the same way, the same time, every year for the past 100 years, and new people come in and have new ideas and we just blow them all off? Aren't we trying to make them just like us, but in a bad way? Yeah. We can't never change doctrine. We can't never change what the Bible says. But traditions aren't bound in the Bible. And the Pharisees had a big problem with that. In church, sometimes we have a big problem with that. Sometimes we do. Last one. Can we honestly say this morning, each one of you ask yourself, the Apostle Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Could you say that this morning? Could you look around the people around you right now and look at them dead in the eyes and say, I want you to be like me because I'm striving to be like him? That's a tough question. So I want you to leave here this morning. I want you to leave here this morning with those words on your mind. Be like me. I want to evangelize the world, but am I okay with these people being like me? You see, I've got a feeling we need to have a self-improvement project. I've got a feeling all of us could work on this. I know I can. I know I can. I know it's something that I need to work on every day of my life. And I'm asking you today, I'm begging you today to think seriously about this. We've not spent all of this money, all the resources, all the time and effort and energy to try to evangelize the world around us just to Pharisee it up. It's not what we've done. And I'm afraid if we're not careful, that is what we do, though. We've got to work on things every day of our lives. This morning, if you're not a New Testament Christian, I beg you to be one. Don't let any excuse hold you back. I don't care if you say people in the church are hypocritical, people are judgmental. Don't let that stand between you and God. We're all going to work on that, myself included. Don't let anything stand between you and God. If you've heard the gospel this morning and you believe it with all your heart, you're willing to repent and confess his name, you can come forward today and we will baptize you for the remission of your sins. And you can contact that blood in the water. You can come up a new creature and leave that old man buried in the water. This morning, Christians, the vast majority of you before me this morning are Christians. Are you okay with people being like you? It's a hard question. It's a sobering question. But you've got to answer that question. And I've got to answer that question. This morning, if we've been Pharisaical, if we have hindered people from coming to God, if we have influenced the people around us to not be what they need to be because of our actions, make it right. Don't leave this building. Make it right while together we stand and while we sing.